Rick Dreyfuss, adjunct scholar for the with the Mackinac Center for Public Policy and a former human resource executive. Welcome to the show, Rick.
Thank you, Michael.
So at issue are billions of dollars of unfunded mandates that Michigan is currently responsible for. How deep of a hole is the state in at the moment?
Well, they're in a very deep hole as we look at it, because just the remaining members in that plan, they have a shortfall, an unfunded liability of about $4 billion. And fortunately, no new members entered the plan since 1997, which only would have made matters worse. And this is all in addition to the public school retirement system, where you're looking at unfunded liabilities, that is deficits, in the neighborhood of $18 to $20 billion.
Now, when it comes to the way the state invests money that goes into a defined benefit program, I mean, is that perhaps where the problem lies? Is there no way to invest the funds conservatively to ensure that the state doesn't end up so far behind in its unfunded mandates?
Well, that's part of the challenge, because their assumptions are that the funds will earn 8% annually, and that's a pretty high bar, particularly at this point in time when you look out over the next 30 years. You know, back 10, 15 years ago, it was probably what you'd call a reasonable expectation. But they haven't changed that assumption since that point in time. And as your question suggests, the funds have not earned that rate of return consistently over that same period of time. And these plans are dependent on interest buildup to accumulate sufficient amounts of money so that people's pensions will be paid out.
Is the only real solution then to make this pretty drastic move of going from a defined benefit to a defined contribution plan?
Well, that would help for new members, but still you have these deficits that remain for the public school employees as well as state employees. And just on the state employees, you still have $4 billion, and that has to be made up really from two sources. One is you hope that the capital markets improve and that they'll earn at least 8%, or it comes from additional taxpayer contributions.
Now, there's clearly a financial advantage to the state to have a system that defines contributions versus one that defines benefits, but doesn't that put state employees in a precarious position facing a riskier retirement outcome?
It does, and certainly over this period of time, you know, 401k plans have not fared particularly well. But I think the important point is it takes the politics out of the whole pension equation, where policymakers get great political capital in creating new benefits and then deferring the cost well into the future onto our children and grandchildren. So while it is true that the investment risk in a defined contribution plan rests with the employees, I think we're better served than tasking the next generation with those same costs.
And what are the prospects of the defined benefit plan at this point? I mean, are the liabilities likely to shrink over the years as less retirees draw funds and new ones are not added?
Well, certainly for the closed plan, for the state employees, yes, that those funds will eventually, as they're drawn down, be paid to people who retire. But you've got to make sure that the fund balances are sufficient to pay current as well as future retirees. There's still over 25,000 active members in this particular plan, and this $4 billion eventually has to be made up, you know, with interest, and that's where the challenge is in this and other plans as well.
And when you look at the current plan as it stands, the defined benefit plan, how do you see this $4 billion being resolved? I mean, do you, if you were to predict it, do you think that the capital markets are going to make the money back?
No, I don't. My expectation, again, it's an opinion of one, is that I think the markets will earn 5 to 6% longer term, but certainly I think 8 is a stretch unless you get into some very risky investments, which creates another set of issues. But I think the plan would be well served if they really stepped up to this in terms of using more realistic assumptions, that is, lower assumptions in terms of what these funds will earn. And certainly that will increase the liabilities even more, but at least they'll be realistic in terms of what needs to be done. But ultimately, I believe this will require more taxpayer contribution than is currently predicted, and there will be the challenge in terms of where those revenues come from.
Is one solution to maintain the defined benefit plan while requiring contributions from state workers to finance the unfunded liability?
Well, I suppose that could be done. I think people would really resist paying more into the pension system because that's not what they really signed up for. But that would be a possibility. You know, there are really three sources when you look at this. There's what the employee puts in, what the taxpayer puts in, and what the assets earn. So you've got to manage those three variables so that you have enough to pay people in the long term through their retirement, and that's ultimately how the whole equation is reconciled.
I'm talking to Rick Dreyfuss, adjunct scholar with the with the Mackinac Center for Public Policy. Now, those who are currently in the defined benefit program, what's the potential? A disastrous scenario for that. Is there any prospect that that could collapse?
I would doubt it, because you know the government. These are constitutionally protected benefits in their pension system. So in theory, the state has an unlimited ability to tax. Not that there aren't, you know, unexpected consequences from such a change, but I think they will be made whole one way or another. So I would say if you're a state retiree, you should not be concerned about the security of your pension payments, but more you should be concerned about how this will be financed. And that's a big challenge, and I think, you know, with all the fiscal problems that state and local governments are facing today, this is just one that, coupled with the retiree health care costs, which are equally problematic.
And when you look at something like the State Employees Retirement Health Care Plan currently, do you support instituting a defined contribution system for that?
Well, I do. I support a system where costs are current, where they're predictable, and where they're affordable. Because so many times in these situations, Michael, the people just don't focus on the amount of debt that we're transferring to the next generation. And politicians are loath to step up to this because it means increasing taxes or taking money away from another one of their, you know, prized programs. So I think we're better served, as from a public policy standpoint, with the defined contribution plans. Admittedly, it puts more risk on the member.
I'm talking to adjunct scholar from the Mackinac Center for Public Policy, Rick Dreyfuss. Thank you for joining me, Rick.
Thank you very much.
When we come-